This is the Fenway Rundown, the premier podcast for all things Boston Red Sox.
You know, people harp on the last place thing, but essentially what's important is the record.
If the Red Sox want people to start thinking the ownership cares, then maybe they should talk.
This is the Fenway Rundown, brought to you by Mass Live. Here are your hosts, Chris Cotillo and Sean McAdam.
Hey everybody, it's Chris Cotillo, one of the co-hosts of the Fenway Rundown. You heard earlier today, Sean McAdam and I recorded a long mega episode discussing everything that came out of winter weekend in Springfield for the Red Sox, mostly Sam Kennedy and Tom Werner and their comments on Friday night, which have been written about, discussed, ridiculed to an extent by the fan base. You've heard the takes, and so I thought it would be a good opportunity for you to actually hear from them directly. I have the audio anyway, so why not make a bonus podcast episode out of it? So this is it. The entire almost 20-minute exchange between the media and Tom Werner and Sam Kennedy on Friday night. We're going to post that in full. As always, a reminder that the best way to keep in touch with us at Mass Live and to have all of our coverage to your phone before it's on the site, before it's on Twitter, sign up for our Red Sox Insider Text program. 14-day free trial, $4.99 a month after that. And very easy to join. Text the word join, J-O-I-N, to 617-751-6257, and click the link and subscribe today. You basically get to text us live. We'll respond when we can. We break news on there sometimes and give takeaways in real time like we did on Friday night after this exchange. So, again, the entire 18-ish minute exchange with Tom Werner and Sam Kennedy from Friday night at Winter Weekend in full.
Just how excited are you for Winter Weekend? Get things started.
It's great to be back here in Springfield. Love Winter Weekend, the annual tradition of starting to kick off the baseball season. So great to be here.
Why do you think fans should be excited for this upcoming season?
Well, it's always great to turn the page, especially when you have a disappointing year. We've had a disappointing couple years, so hope springs eternal, and we're excited to get down to Fort Myers and get going.
Sam, you had said that when you guys let go of Heim, that it was time to start competing for a championship again every year, year in and year out. I mean, do you feel like you guys have positioned yourself this winter to kind of get back into that mode in 2024?
Look, I think Brez has said it very well the last couple of days. I mean, we're committed to building this organization. It's a process that started back in 2019 into 2020. It continues, and we recognize the results have been completely and totally unacceptable, and that's on us. We're the leaders of this organization. There's no sugarcoating it. We have to be better, and we're excited that Craig is here, and we think he's just the right guy to continue to build and get us to where we need to be. But I think it'd be inappropriate to make strong, bold predictions as we sit here in January, and we're grateful to our fans for their patience, and we recognize we haven't been where we wanted to be in the American League East, and that's on us and on nobody else.
How long is it going to continue, Sam?
How long is it going to continue,
the rebuilding?
We've been ferociously protecting prospects in our minor league system for a long time, going back to 2020, 2021. And I think we're at the stage now where you're starting to see the results of holding on to young, talented players. We hope we're going to be competitive in 2024. That's always the goal. And so, again, I don't think it'd be appropriate to offer a timetable on anything at this point. I think we need to do the work, let our actions speak louder than our words at this point.
You guys were very clear, both of you, on the day that Craig was hired, talking about the need to add impact starting pitching at the top of the rotation, making it sound as if every avenue was open. Based on the behavior, it appears that this is not an off season, which you are kind of playing in that deep of the pool. Why hasn't this off season been that? For both of you,
yeah, we I mean, we haven't matched. We obviously didn't match up on a couple of the more high-profile free agent pitchers at the beginning of the offseason. I'm excited about Lucas Giolito coming in here. Excited about Craig Breslow and his ability to identify pitching, develop pitching, institute pitching infrastructure that will hopefully help get us there. But we recognize we haven't matched up on sort of the big name, you know, high profile free agents. We're going to let this build of our team sort of dictate what we do as we go forward. But you said it, the name of the game is pitching and more pitching. And that's something that Craig is charged with addressing.
Tom, I just want to add to that is that one of the reasons that we were excited about Craig is because he knows how to build a pitching pipeline, and hiring Andrew Bailey was important. And I think that last year we were competitive for the first half of the year, and then our lack of pitching depth caught up with us. But we actually like a lot of the people that were pitching, and we hope that they take a step forward. And we're in sync with Craig's plan.
You, when the term bridge year was offered about 15 years ago, that was one that you guys ended up regretting. How has full throttle sat with you?
Well, I think a lot has been made out of two words. For me personally, full throttle is that I approach every year expecting for us to be competitive and using all the levers at Craig's disposal. And that could be acquiring talent through trades, free agency, building a core, having a stronger pitching staff, having a stronger coaching staff. I mean, we weren't good enough defensively last year. So when I was saying full throttle, and I admitted that it probably wasn't the most artful words, that also applies to my own life. And we are accountable to our fans. We're not happy, as Sam said, for our performance last year, and we expect to be better this year.
I think fans think that the rhetoric now about building is a lot different than the rhetoric of full throttle, number one. Number two, Sam, you saying on the day that Heim was fired, you want to compete. Do you feel like you guys have changed the way that you've communicated the plan?
Perhaps. I think, you know, better for others to judge. Our job in ownership and senior management is to be accountable to Red Sox fans, and we're going to hear it tonight, I'm sure. That's why we're here, and we have an obligation to do everything we can to try and consistently play baseball in October. We haven't gotten it done, and that's on us. So there's no sugarcoating it. 3 out of 4 last place finishes is not acceptable. It's on us. A lot of us are responsible, not one person. The good news is that as we enter our 23rd year, I believe, together, we know what that champagne tastes like in October, and we want to get that feeling back, and our fans want it back. But we need to not worry as much about communication. We need to worry about execution, and we have not executed, all of us, and that's on us. We need to do better.
Do you expect for both of you the payroll to be higher or lower than it was in 2023?
It probably will be lower than it was in 2023. I don't know that for sure. We don't talk about specific payroll numbers, but I want to be clear that the build that we're engaged in and have been engaged in, the spend. We were engaged with some long-term, high-profile free agent discussions that we didn't match up on. And we're going to stay disciplined with this approach to make sure that we have this growing core of young players. And that's really important because we think that's going to position us for the best chance to be successful for the long term going forward.
I think you all know that the prize at the end of the year doesn't go to the team with the highest payroll. In fact, the three teams with the highest payroll last year didn't even make a postseason. So, you know, as Sam said, we're here to support Craig and to build a consistent winner. And we have the resources to be competitive, and we expect to be.
So when you talk about pressing every lever, wouldn't spending count under that?
I think spending that's consistent with building an organization from top to bottom is the most important thing.
Sam, when you say it didn't match up with some of the free agents, I assume you mean financially?
Financially, terms, yeah, that's right.
There was a time when the Red Sox wanted a player, Dice K, David Price, et cetera. You guys went out and got the player, paid what you had to play, those guys won World Series for you. What's changed philosophically with this team?
Nothing's changed, Pete. We've always had success when we've had a core of young, homegrown, talented players matched up with high-profile free agents, impact players, that come from the outside of the organization. That is something that will not change. That said, we have not matched up this offseason, and we recognize that. But again, the philosophy has not changed. We need to have a robust group of core, homegrown, talented players, and there will be a day when we match up again on a high profile free agent deal, but hasn't happened this off season. So we recognize that, and we just need to do the right things and make sure that we have the right group of players as we go forward, and we're committed to doing that.
Do you think there'll be a time when the Red Sox will go after the top tier of free agents again?
Absolutely.
Sam and Tom, too, just given you're in the middle of this build, I guess, as you mentioned, and not as aggressive as maybe years ago in terms of payroll, how comfortable do you feel asking fans to spend, you know, the highest ticket prices in the league, and just where that's at, and understanding maybe their frustration in coming to Fenway for a team that maybe is on the cusp or, you know, trying to compete, as you said?
Well, the first thing is that, again, we recognize the frustration that the fans have. We spend a lot of time trying to figure out ways to bring new fans into the park and have some tickets that are very affordable for students. And we spend a lot of time talking about the experience of going to Fenway. We think, our record is probably the most important thing, but there are other things that make going to Fenway a special place, and we've got to put a better product on the field, and we know that.
Can you guys ownership on the same page? Are all three of you on the same page with
yes.
this?
We're in lockstep. That doesn't mean we don't have an occasional disagreement, but at the end of the day, we have consensus, and we support Craig 100%.
The reason I ask is you two take a lot of the heat in public. We haven't heard from John in a while. You have said full throttle. You have suggested, you know, we want to compete for World Series again. We're all left to think, is John the one who is pushing in the other direction?
I said we're in lockstep, and, you know, you can text John, and he'll text you back.
That's a question. He doesn't text much.
Sam, there's, you know, been a couple of reports that, you know, free agents that you guys like have been told that you need to shed payroll before, you know, you guys make a competitive offer. So is the payroll right now where it's going to be, or do you guys don't want to add any more payroll?
We're not done this offseason, obviously, by definition, where we are. We do have a budget that we don't talk about publicly as to not tip our hand to our competitors. And I'll leave it at that.
So to add, you would have to subtract probably right now.
Again, I don't want to get into specifics around absolute dollar numbers or payroll. This ownership has demonstrated a willingness to invest when the timing is right, and on deals that we feel are within the framework that works for us. Again, when you have three out of four seasons where you haven't delivered, we just need to do the right things, and we need to play better, and we need to be accountable and recognize that we have failed as an organization with respect to competitiveness in the American League East, and that's on us.
What does that mean when the timing is right? Like, does that mean, you know, we saw what the D-backs did, right? It's viewed as a reference point by the industry. why wouldn't the timing be right if it augments the possibility of you getting a wild card, or is the timing right for kind of more aggressive impact moves when that is the difference between being in the mix for a wild card spot versus being in the mix for an AL East title or a championship?
At a high level, there's certain players that would make sense to aggressively pursue in the offseason, and others that wouldn't for a variety of reasons. Age, stage of career, sort of the cycle of where we are, the progression of our young players. So it's a delicate balance, balancing the near term and the long term. We've said that for years. And again, it's you know, words are really hollow when you haven't performed and you haven't delivered. And we hear our fans. We both grew up diehard baseball fans. We know how painful it is when you're not winning. There is a desire and a hunger within the Red Sox ownership group and the front office to win baseball games. We haven't done it the last couple of years. We've got to get back to that, and that's on us to do it.
I just want to say, you know, these are fair questions, but I want to say that the glass is more than half full. When you look around our team, you know, look at our infield. You know, Tristan Casas, we've made a great trade, I think, with Grissom. Hopefully Trevor Story will be healthy. Rafi Devers at third. If Duran has a healthy year, you know, I'm looking forward to Wilbur Abreu having 400 at-bats. There's a lot to be excited about, and we admit that our pitching wasn't strong last year, but I expect improvement. And I expect the people who are on our team, and we have a young core, will be a step closer to being, you know, excellent.
Tom, how concerned are you with the damage the brand is taking while you wait for these players to get here?
You know, all I can say is that it's about where we are at the end of the season. It's not about where we are now. We hope and expect improvement. And fans get, I think most fans get, that we have an exciting young core. But we have to demonstrate it.
What do you think the team's brand is at the moment? We could always...
Well, you know, when I last looked, we won 4 World Series, which is more than any team in baseball since the year 2000. I think our fans are frustrated. We're frustrated. But I'm very proud of the Red Sox. You walk around, the fans here are excited to see a new season, and we've got a lot of legends who are here. I think we're a strong brand.
I'll tell you a little story about what I think our brand represents. It just happened about 15 minutes ago. We were standing in the lobby, and a very nice woman asked if we could take pictures with her and her 10-year-old son. And we smiled and took a picture, and as she walked away, she whispered in my ear, "Sam, don't worry. We don't hate you as much as you think we do." And to me, that represents the fact that, look, the anger, the frustration, the vitriol, especially on social media, which I think is very different from the real world, when you get out and talk to Red Sox fans, people are angry and upset because we haven't performed. And that's what makes this the best market in all baseball. Our fans care more deeply. They're more passionate than any other fan base in all of baseball. That's the Red Sox, in good times and in bad times.
Just to play devil's advocate, I don't think it's so much that you haven't performed. I think there's a feeling that you're not trying.
I understand that. When people equate spending, sort of aggressive spending, with trying, and I get that. We own that because we haven't matched up on big BAFO long-term contracts. There may be a perception that we're not trying, and I can assure you that we are trying. We're building an organization that Red Sox fans are going to be very proud of. But it's easy to say that. We have to go do it.
In that vein of trying, Sam, how much did you guys offer Yamamoto?
Not enough.
More than we pay Sam.
Just given it, because there's been some speculation over the winter and obviously with payroll and things like that, I'm curious, are there plans any time to sell the team? Are you where are you, I guess, in terms of your vision for your ownership of the team?
You know, people ask us that, and the cornerstone of Fenway Sports Group are the Boston Red Sox, and hopefully we'll be stewards of this for a couple more decades at least.
for either of you. There's been a lot of talk about the young core, and there's also been talk in the past of trying to extend or come to agreements on contracts with these players earlier, kind of brave style, so that they don't get a chance to leave and you lock them in. Is that something that you're, a route that you're still looking towards with all of the promising young talents that you have right now?
Absolutely. But of course, you know, I would have to talk to agents who also like the idea of waiting till free agency, but hopefully, you know, we can extend players. Anything else, guys?
Oh, hi, I have some questions from fans. They just want to know, will there be anything done this season to commemorate Tim Wakefield's life, and will you guys be commemorating the 20th anniversary of the 2004 World Series?
Yeah, great question. The answer is yes on both fronts. Wake was an incredible teammate, colleague, World Series champion, Red Sox Hall of Famer, a very close personal friend of both of ours, honorary chairman of the Red Sox Foundation. So tonight at Winter Weekend, there'll be a recognition of Wake and a look back on his life from some of his teammates, and we'll be honoring him at Fenway, and we'll certainly be honoring the occasion of the 20th anniversary of the 04 championship.
We do note, by the way, that April 9th, which is 4-9, is the number that Tim wore proudly. Okay. Thanks, guys.
This has been the Fenway Rundown, brought to you by Mass Live.